The Bleck and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by Neighborhood Housing Services of Chicago. If you're looking to get out of that tiny apartment and into your own home, visit nhschicago.org/team.
See, the thing with Kyrie is that if he never won anything ever, you could just write it off and be like, who cares what he wants to do in free agency or what he wants to do when you're trying to build a team, as in the Brooklyn Nets. But he has won. I know he was with LeBron, but like Kyrie showed up and hit like the biggest shot in Cavs history to win that championship. And LeBron obviously made humongous plays along the way, but like Kyrie Irving is certainly a player worthy of the attention. I don't know if he's worth the headache. If your favorite team is the team that has Kyrie Irving in the mix, I don't know if that's the guy you want as your number one. He's probably the best or one of the best number twos in all of the league when he's actually committed and actually playing. And so here's the news that we have tonight. It's Chris Bleck here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Abdallah's off tonight. If you want to join the conversation, you can call me at 312-332-3776. So earlier in the day, Adrian Wojnarowski on ESPN.com, he had an article up saying sources, Los Angeles Lakers are the only team known to be seeking Brooklyn Nets guard Kyrie Irving in a sign and trade deal. The problem with some of this would have been the fact that Kyrie would have to opt into his contract and then force the Nets to trade him to the Lakers. Now, Woj was on SportsCenter about an hour ago suggesting that sources are thinking that Kyrie would be willing to pass up about $30 million to pass up his contract, opt out, and then sign with the Lakers for the mid-level exception for about $6 million, which is crazy. It would create this whole thing where you'd have LeBron and Kyrie and Russell and Melo, all these people with the Lakers, you know, some kind of past their prime. LeBron's still in his prime. Kyrie's still in their prime. Can the Lakers get it done in the West, right? That was on SportsCenter about an hour ago. And since then, Shams Charania from The Athletic tweeted out 26 minutes ago, Nets star Kyrie Irving opting into his $37 million player option for 2022-2023. The Athletic and Stadium have learned. Irving is bypassing on multiple opt-in and trade scenarios to fulfill his four-year commitment to the Nets and Kevin Durant. How sweet. He's going to fulfill his commitment. Even though he wasn't quite committed last season, right? Like, he didn't play the full season, and that was his doing. Kyrie also sent Shams this text. Normal people keeping the world going. Those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. I made my decision to opt in. See you in the fall. A-11. All right. I could barely get through that without laughing. Those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. All right, Kyrie. You're opting into $37 million. You're not making some grandstand. You're not doing anything special here. You play for the Brooklyn Nets, and you're a part-time player for the Brooklyn Nets. How about this? Opt into the full season and see what the Nets can do next year. I don't know. I think what was interesting is getting ready for the show tonight. I was going to kind of talk about this as the lead story, but also address the idea that this week is a huge week in the NBA. NBA free agency starts on Thursday at 5 p.m. And with this situation with Kyrie and the Nets and those pieces of information that I just gave you from Woj and Shams coming out. And then also Brian Windhorst earlier today on ESPN television, he said this about the Nets.
The Nets are putting out there right now that they are prepared to lose both Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. They would rather lose them both than go through what they went through last season, which was a miserable season under the situation that Kyrie Irving contributed to create.
Just a miserable season being around those two, our two stars. So that was Windhorst earlier today. That was obviously before the latest Shams report. I do think it's interesting that the idea that was being presented earlier today was that possibly the Nets being so upset and frustrated with Kyrie, willing to part with Durant as well if Kyrie didn't opt in. Well, that's interesting because as a Bulls fan, the one thing we have to look at when it comes to free agency beginning on Thursday is we know the Bulls are kind of set. They've made it clear what they want to do. They want to sign Zach LaVine to the max. They have said that they've done everything possible to present this to Zach, to make this an appealing place for him to want to opt in, to sign up for more time to play with the Chicago Bulls. They made the moves last summer. They cleared the money for Zach for this summer. And they're a team that improved last year. With Zach in the fold, hopefully they will continue to improve. It's not like the arrow is pointing down with the Chicago Bulls. It is pointing up. It was a disappointing end to the season, but it's pointing up. So as a Bulls fan, you look at this situation, things kind of bubbling under the surface with the Nets. It seems as if that's going to be that with that storyline. But on Thursday, there are still going to be opportunities to be had. I would imagine just because Kyrie says he's opting in, I don't know if that necessarily means that Kevin Durant's going to be happy. Like, think about it. Durant out in the first round does not sound great when you look at Durant's legacy compared to other greats all time. Durant was healthy, but his buddy didn't show up for half the games. And then when they got eliminated, Kyrie said that they didn't have enough time to gel and to come together. And whose fault was that? It was Kyrie's fault for not being vaccinated and not following in line with the rest of the teammates, rest of the players, and being available to play basketball. And so when you look at this whole situation, and I think when you look at Durant, someone in the last 2 years, his legacy status in the league has definitely taken a hit, right? Like, he leaves Stephen Curry to go start his own chase for a championship in Brooklyn. I think he kind of thought, bigger city, bigger stage, I'm going to be the man in New York. We're going to outshine the New York Knicks. And then Stephen Curry goes out, he wins on his own, basically. That's what we've seen. And not only last year, or this year winning the championship, but last year, you could argue that Steph was the best player in the league. You know, he was on a scoring run last year that was crazy for a small guard, the shooting percentages, everything that Stephen Curry did last year. They win the championship this year. And then also, the Nets have been dealing with issues this entire time. They thought they had a super team, James Harden in the fold. They trade Harden for Simmons. It was certainly a setting where Durant thought he was going to be successful, and it seemed to be a lot more difficult than maybe he intended. So what does this mean for the Bulls? Thursday at 5 p.m., free agency begins. Will the Bulls be able to land Zach LaVine immediately and kind of start to shift their attention towards maybe some rim protection, some 3-and-D wings, some guys to add some depth and some, you know, productive players off the bench that maybe the Bulls didn't have last season. You know, it was weird. When the Bulls were playing well last year, it seemed like they were a very deep team. Remember, like, the fun games in December and they were, you know, you had guys like Green off the bench and Jones off the bench and Caruso's playing well. And you had all these different contributing players off the bench. And then as the season kind of went along and we got closer to March and April in the playoffs, like, all of that bench production just kind of dried up. And it was really just DeMar DeRozan, sometimes Zach, and not really a whole lot. I know injuries kind of played into part of that, but when you look at Boston and both Golden State getting to the finals this year, both teams are pretty deep. Now, they're led by players at the top who are very good, but Boston was a deep team that got to the finals, and same with Golden State. They had contributions from Payton, Jordan Poole, obviously off the bench, and you get players that contribute that can kind of shoulder some of the responsibility that your stars can get you to a certain point, but can they push you over the top? And I think that's where this conversation starts tonight. If you want to join us at 312-332-3776. You're a Bulls fan. You're sitting here, and this is the week of free agency. It seems like there's endless possibilities. Now, maybe one door closes with a dream for Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving or the Nets blowing it up and you plucking off a piece here or there from what drama is going on in Brooklyn. But there are moves to be made in the next week or so that this team can make to get better. And I want to talk to you about that. What moves do you think the Bulls should make? What do you want to see the Bulls go after? Do you have a wish list? Have you kind of thought through, like, what should the Bulls address first? Is it a big to play defensively alongside Vooch? Is it a guard who can shoot from three? You know, one thing we saw last year is Kobe White. He basically disappeared and became unplayable at the end of the season. The Bulls are going to have to do something there with Kobe White. Kobe White next year, team option for $7.1 million. I don't know. I think at 22, he's a very young player. If he could be consistent at all, that's a player you hold on to. We didn't see that last year. So is Kobe White back in the mix? There's a lot to think about here with this Bulls team. So even though there's drama going on in Brooklyn, and apparently Kyrie, and that's the latest news that we got tonight about 20 minutes ago, is that Kyrie is opting in, and he's going to fulfill his duty, his commitment with the Nets and Kevin Durant, his four-year commitment with the Nets and KD. So the Nets apparently are going to run that back. They lost in the first round, though. As a Bulls fan, does that scare you? And the question is this: what do you want, Bulls fans? 312-332-3776. How do you attack free agency? What's on your wish list? We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
And Abdallah, ESPN 1000, and now on digital FM at 100.3 HD2.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Chris Black with you. Abdallah has the night off. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Raphael and Juliet, you're on ESPN 1000. We're talking Bulls free agency. What's on your wish list? What's up, Raphael?
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
What's up, man?
As far as wish list, Patty Mills was a name we both threw out there a while, but like, when I look back at Kobe White's season, you look at his overall numbers, this is where the numbers might be like lying a bit, but his shooting percentage hasn't been that bad. He took two less shots per game for three, but like, aren't all three-point shooters super streaky when they're role players? Like, you look at Duncan Robinson, he became a liability just because he stopped shooting threes, and he's a guy we would have loved to have on the Bulls during the season.
Yeah, no doubt, and Miami stopped playing him. There were times during the playoffs where Duncan Robinson wasn't on the floor. He didn't even take the warm-ups off.
Yeah, so it's so hard to say. Like, I still feel like Kobe, because he's young enough to be able to turn it around. So I don't just want to, like, kick him off the team. But it's like, who's, like, a consistent role-playing shooter? Like, other than maybe Seth Curry, I can't really think of a guy that I'm comfortable taking an open shot for three that I know he's going to make it.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Thanks for the call, Raphael. If you want to join us, you can call us at 312-332-3776. ESPN.com has a list of free agents, and it's some of the different roles that they've kind of broken them into. And these are the guys, veteran role players. The names that they have listed: Nicholas Batum, he was with the Clippers. He played some really good minutes with the Clippers last year. He's a guy that can shoot from three, hitting 40% of threes. He also plays good defense, so that, you know, maybe that's someone you look to. Otto Porter Jr., you know, he was formerly here with the Bulls. I don't know if that's someone I would look to. I felt like he was like busted. He was broken down. Even though he was starting in the finals for the Warriors, there were a couple of plays where he got out in the open court, like on a fast break, and you thought that like the legs were going to come flying off as he like stumbled his way towards the basket. I'm not so sure about Otto Porter going into the future.
It felt like he was a product of the system around him.
Yeah,
with
but
the
like,
Warriors.
Like, you know what I mean, Tyler?
No,
like,
I know.
Like,
yeah.
He was on a fast, like, he and Draymond were on a fast break, and he was the one with the ball, and it looked as if his legs, almost like he's...
His upper body was moving too fast for the lower body.
Yeah, like,
it was like a cartoon.
In T-1000 in Terminator 2, when he's like hit with all the ice, so, and then like he crystallizes and his legs start to bust off and he like falls forward and just shatters. Like, I thought that's what was going to happen to Otto
Porter. Isn't the in the Looney Tunes, there's one of the characters who, like, the upper half of the body keeps going, was it the... not the Roadrunner, I don't think. But
well, Roadrunner is the bottom half, right? Because he's fast. So the bottom half keeps going.
Keeps going. And so it's like the opposite of that, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, I don't know. Yeah, I think Tyler's right, though. He's a product of the fact that he plays with someone that commands such gravity on the offensive end and Steph Curry that, you know, guys are going to be open. You got to hit those shots. Porter was a guy who used to command top dollar in the league, and now he's just a vet playing with a bunch of good players trying to win a championship. Here's the name also on the list for veteran role players. I thought that was interesting. PJ Tucker for the Miami Heat. Now, PJ Tucker is not only someone who can guard, he is somebody who can hit the corner three. Bucks fans know this. Heat fans know it. PJ Tucker, for a long time in the league, has played great defense. He's a smart offensive player. He had some grit, some toughness to your team. Now, that's the type of player that I ideally think would be a great mix. You add a guy like PJ Tucker to play alongside DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, immediately, I don't think they look as bad defensively. You also mix in Caruso. You mix in someone like Alonzo Ball, if healthy. And that to me, is a nice start to kind of impact some winning defensively. Also, centers. You know, we've heard both Eversley and AK talk about getting defensive help at the start at center position with Vooch. That's something that they've said, not in replace of Vooch. So the names that are out there, and really, there's not a whole lot of names that are obtainable if you're looking for the backup center. You're looking at Kevon Looney, center from Golden State, and he's great, fits perfectly into their system. He's said on the record that he wants to stay there. Now, is he willing to give up money to do so? That would be interesting. He only made $5.2 million last season. And you know, to a regular person, that's a lot of money. To an NBA player, it's not a lot of money. So he's deserving of a nice deal. And whether or not Golden State is able to do that, that'll be interesting if he leaves the Warriors. And then the other name who has been linked to the Bulls at points here in the offseason is Mitchell Robinson, the center from the New York Knicks. Now, Robinson would be the type of player who could be a bench center who can mix the minutes with Vooch. Vooch is your offensive guy. He's your guy you could run your offense through. And then you could have someone like Robinson to be a bench defensive player to add some toughness and kind of add with what you're trying to build there with the Chicago Bulls. But like, those are the names that we're looking at. Now that you take off the top guys off the list, and we assume that the Bulls do sign Zach LaVine, that's what we're kind of going to be looking at. Mark Eversley on Thursday after the NBA draft talked to reporters, and we don't hear from Eversley or AK very often. And Eversley spoke about Zach LaVine and the Bulls being prepared to give Zach the max once free agency starts on Thursday.
I think we're prepared to do what it will take to bring Zach back in the fold and be a Chicago Bull. And again, we look forward to sitting down with Zach and Rich Paul and talking about what the future could look like for Zach LaVine and the Chicago Bulls.
And just a quick follow-up to that. Do you expect him to go through the free agency process, or do you think you'll come to a quick resolution on his future?
I'm not sure.
Got it.
I don't know.
You know, and something that we've kind of heard here in the offseason, it's weird, right? The Zach LaVine story has gone like this. He wanted to be here. The Bulls made decisions to show him that they wanted him to be here. The team plays really well all season, one of the surprise teams in the league. And then they have a surprising loss in the playoffs. They lose to the Bucks. Nothing's really doing right. First round and out. And then we start to get sources and chatter that Zach wants to test the free agent market. He wants people to prove to him that they want him, right? And that was out there for a couple weeks. It seemed as if it was Rich Paul and the agency, Clutch Sports, trying to drive up the price that Zach's going to take meetings and he's, you know, oh, here's a rumor that Dallas may want him. And here's a rumor that Atlanta may want him. And here's a rumor that the Lakers are interested, willing to give him the max. It's kind of died down, right? I mean, there hasn't been anything on the Zach LaVine front in like over a week. And the last thing that was out there was Mark Stein in his newsletter saying that all intentions are that Zach's going to re-sign with the Bulls. Casey Johnson has basically said the same thing. on NBC Sports Chicago that there were other teams who are interested, but it sounds as if Zach's going to sign with the Bulls. So that's what's on the table. And whether or not, you know, as a Bulls fan, do you think that that's enough to get you to the next level? We saw this year it wasn't good enough. So, like, what's next? How does this team get to the next step? Mark Eversley talked on Thursday about kind of that same thing. Like, how does this team take the next step?
I think we're going to continue to take a pragmatic approach to this. We did take a big leap last year. You know, what we're committed to doing is coming in here every single day, whether that's up in the front office or down here on the floor, and doing everything we can do to improve this team on a daily basis. I don't think there's any one player or any giant leap that we're going to, you know, encounter overnight that's going to turn this thing. We're going to come in here every single day and do the things we need to do to try and improve and grow this team. And we're committed to doing that.
So does that fire you up, Bulls fans? Like, here's the thing. For the sake of this conversation right now, I don't think it does, but I like it. I like that the idea here is not we're going to wildly go running around the league trying to pursue every possible top-level player who may or may not have interest. Instead, it sounds as if they want to build a culture with developing players that they draft, mixing in with guys who are vets who do it the right way. DeMar DeRozan, Vucevic, Lonzo, Caruso, and Zach LaVine. And keeping a group together and trying to maybe not win a championship in one move, but winning a championship with many smart moves over the course of time that equate to a better team in the long run. Arturis Karnišovas said this earlier today at the press conference for Dalen Terry. You know, on continuity and helping the team get better for next year, but keeping guys together.
The last 2 years, we built, you know, the way you can build your roster is three ways, right? Through your trades, via free agency, and the draft. And I think we tapping into all three of them. And during the draft, you just keep adding talent, which we did. And continuity, yes, because this group has been here only since October. So we're still trying to get used to how to play with each other. I think, start of the season last year, it was really, really positive and exactly how we want to play. But goals in September, obviously all roster to be healthy and ready for the season.
So there you go. AK and Eversley talking about the Bulls. Free agency starts on Thursday at 5 o'clock. It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. If you want to talk Bulls basketball, call me at 312-332-3776. We'll continue talking Bulls and take your calls next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
How about this? The White Sox are on the West Coast. White Sox baseball pregame with Connor McKnight starts at 8 o'clock tonight. So Black and Abdallah until 8 o'clock. That's all right. Full show, Black and Abdallah, on the same night that the White Sox play. How about that? It's what the people have been asking for all summer long, guys. Jake and Tyler are both here producing the show, right? Like, that's what we always hear. Right? Black and Abdallah, what's going on? We have a White Sox game.
And not just news. That, boom. We get it for a full week, too.
Hey, boom.
Back-to-back West Coast series,
how
full
about
week.
That?
Full week of full shows of Black and Abdallah. See, with White Sox baseball.
The people speak, and we send the Sox to the West Coast. It's the poll that we have here at ESPN 1000. That, or that's just how the MLB schedule goes, is that the Sox are in Los Angeles to face the Angels tonight, 8 o'clock pregame show with Connor McKnight right here on ESPN 1000. Noah Syndergaard on the mound for the Angels tonight. Lucas Giolito on the mound for the Sox. Ooh, Giolito was not good in his last outing for the White Sox last Wednesday against the Blue Jays. Not good. We'll see if he can recap. And by the way, like, I want to talk some White Sox at some point tonight. I was at the game on Friday. it was embarrassing to see the Sox take on the Orioles, a team that, quote, in air quotes, should not be contending this year, even though they're basically the same exact record. The difference, though, I'm sitting there at Guaranteed Rate on Friday night. The Orioles are making defensive plays. They're running the base pads. They're working at bats. Just smart, standard baseball. Nothing special, nothing flashy. No six-run innings or three-run home runs or anything special. Just playing good team baseball. And that's always fun to root for when it's a team that's not supposed to contend. Meanwhile, the White Sox, on the other hand, throwing the ball all over the field, not taking the extra base. You got tired legs. Yeah, a whole team of tired legs. I've never heard of that before. My entire life of watching and covering sports, I've never heard of an entire team that's not an NBA team on the fifth of 7 days with tired legs. It's crazy to me. Meanwhile, that's the Chicago White Sox, and that's the situation that we find the Sox in now as they head to the West Coast against the Angels. I also think with the Angels, can you have two more disappointing teams to this point in the season than the LA Angels and the Chicago White Sox? I mean, the Angels, you have the best player in baseball, Shohei Ohtani, right? You have the best player in baseball, Mike Trout. The Angels are 11 and a half games back. Not in contention at all. You got two generational players, and you're not even competing for your division. You've already fired your manager to this point in the season. They're behind the Rangers and the Astros. The Astros are really good, but the Rangers are better than the Angels? That's crazy to me. All right, so tired legs. I don't know what that's about. Never heard that before. Tired legs. All right. So White Sox baseball, 8 o'clock. Connor McKnight will have the pregame right here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, you can call me at 312-332-3776. Andrew in St. Charles, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, how's it going, my man? Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. What's up?
All right, so basically, you know, so I just want to talk about Zach LaVine for a second. You know, I love Zach, and I do think, you know, if he stays healthy, he's got potential to be an impactful player and, you know, maybe like a really good second fiddle. I don't really know. But, you know, the injuries just concern me, and I've heard your thoughts, and I know you're kind of like iffy on it, but I mean, what do you think about, you know, trying to maybe sign and trade him? I don't know what the market is because, you know, I don't know who we can get back. I mean, teams would want Zach. It's just a matter of who and what we get back. But I mean, I can't like see myself, if I was AK, I can't see myself, as much as I like him, again, you know, he's a good guy. He works hard. I can't, you know, see myself signing a guy who is a shooting guard. He's not a two-way player, really. So, meaning he doesn't play defense. His offense is great. And, you know, his injuries are just a concern. I mean, I don't really know if he's played more than 60 games with the Bulls. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts, you know.
Yeah, Andrew, thanks for the phone call. And I think that's been the piece of the conversation with Zach LaVine his entire career, at least in a Bulls uniform. Can he get to the next level? To answer the quick question, he played 63 games in 2019 for the Bulls, played 67 games last season. Close. He played 60 in 2020, 58 in 21. So those are the amount of games. So he hasn't played a full season with the Chicago Bulls. So that's true, Andrew. He is someone who has gotten injured many times. I'd say this, like, obviously, he's a legit scorer. He can get to the basket anytime he wants. He has that ability to step back and get that three-point shot off whenever he wants as well, even when a defender is in his chest. He has the ability in a one-on-one situation to score at will. Does he have the true dog in him where he wants it more than anyone else on the court? And I think that's what it all boils down to. Because when you have that in you, you can usually play competent defense. And at times, he has played competent defense. But he's not consistent in always playing competent defense. And at times, he plays poor defense. Or he doesn't even give the effort at all. And I think when you stack all those little microaggressions of lack of defense or careless turnovers or loose handles when you go to the rim, when you stack that all together, that's why the Bulls are usually in the situation that they're in. great players eliminate those little micro faults, those little micro pieces of his game, and they don't turn the ball over as often, as frequently as Zach does when he goes to the basket. They play good, hard-nosed defense every single possession. I mean, think back to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in the finals. I mean, yeah, they got beat, but those guys played great defense to get to the finals every single possession. I don't know if Zach has that in him. He's 26. At this point, we've seen many seasons. He's played 8 seasons in the NBA. At a certain point, you kind of know what a guy is and what a guy is not. And what I think is fascinating to me, at least as a basketball fan and observer, is that what I saw from Andrew Wiggins this year in the NBA playoffs and in the finals was something different than what we saw Andrew Wiggins bring to the table throughout his entire career. And to be fair, if a guy can do what Wiggins did in the playoffs and in the finals and compete with Stephen Curry for MVP of the finals, why can't a guy like Zach LaVine at age 27 or age 28 turn the corner? Like and Andrew said it, like I've been vocal on this show and on other shows that I don't think Zach's the number one that you need to get you to the next spot, right? I've been vocal about that. And I feel as if I've laid out the reasoning and it's a fair criticism. He probably would disagree with me, but then I would say, let's sit down and watch some tape and watch the turnovers in crunch time. Let's watch the lack of defense on the help side when a play matters, right? And I think that there's a fair criticism there to be had on his game. But if Andrew Wiggins could take his game to one spot to the next, and I don't think anyone expected that. Did anyone expect Wiggins to go to the place he went in the finals? I certainly didn't. I've watched a lot of his games in his career. I don't think anyone thought that. But, you know, in the finals, Wiggins had that dog in him. He was a guy that said, you know what? I'm just going to rebound the basketball. And he took it upon himself to go collect every single loose ball, every rebound that was up there. He went and got it. And like, that was a choice he made, and he flipped the series. The question I would have is Zach okay just being the second best player on the team? You know, we saw at times last year where DeMar DeRozan was running the show and Zach was just standing on the side. So in those moments, what does Zach bring to the table when someone else is running the show? Because to me, it seems as if Zach is only at his best when the ball's in his hands and he can go one-on-one. And it feels like he only does that in situations where the team's not competing, right? In past years, the team wasn't competing for the playoffs. He was putting up buckets, getting 50-point games. You don't make the playoffs. This year, they were a playoff team, and he kind of disappeared to a certain extent down the stretch run. And I get it. People are going to point to the knee. Fair. He was hurt. A lot of guys are dealing with stuff by the time you get to the end of the season. Lou in Humboldt Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Lou?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for the call.
Thanks for letting us call you.
Yeah, you know, so I think the Bulls are really, I don't want to say confused because obviously they're professionals, but what they're doing is confusing. Starting last year with this past season with the trade deadline, you know, you can't get a grasp on if they want to rebuild or if they want to win now. I don't understand if you have 3 All-Stars and your draft pick in Patrick Williams has a high trade market still, even though he's done nothing besides contribute little and sit on the bench. Why wouldn't you trade him for a player that could have brought you to the next level? Now, I say the next level because, like, again, we have 3 All-Stars already. We just needed another rim protector, a two-way player, somebody that's an enforcer, but they didn't do it. They drafted him off the bench in college and think he's going to be NBA-ready. And then they draft another player that's useless, which is Lonzo Ball. He stays on the bench the whole time, too, and they gave him a overwhelming contract. You know, when he's on the floor, he's all right. But right now, the Bulls look like they have a huge question mark on their head what to do, not only just with Zach LaVine.
All right, Lou, that's a fair way to look at it. Tyler Aki's with us tonight producing the show, and Tyler does a great job explaining this because he follows college basketball. Tyler, can you explain to Lou why Patrick Williams didn't get the minutes that maybe other young players in their first year at a school like Florida State, why he didn't have the, quote, resume as others entering the draft?
I absolutely can. So I'll ask you this question. Who was the Rookie of the Year in the NBA this year?
Rookie of the Year this year. Well, quiz show. I have no...
Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Scotty Barnes.
Where did he go to school?
Sure. Yeah.
Florida State.
Korea. Yeah.
Florida State.
Yeah.
Florida State.
Leonard Hamilton. I'm with you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Scotty Barnes wasn't a starter. All right. And then he comes to the league and he becomes the NBA Rookie of the Year. And this is just what Leonard Hamilton does. He would rather start guys that are veterans as opposed to have guys that are freshmen, even as highly rated as a Scotty Barnes or Patrick Williams were out of high school. He would rather have those guys be veteran second, third, fourth year players. And listen, Patrick Williams was in the closing lineups for Florida State on a team that was going to be a one seed if there was an NCAA tournament that year. So
right.
He was playing the important minutes. He had the trust of Leonard Hamilton, but Leonard preferred to start upperclassmen and will always prefer to start upperclassmen.
And push that concept forward to the player the Bulls just drafted, Daylon Terry.
Yep.
Who he was on a loaded Arizona Wildcat team.
Mm-hmm. Another one seed.
Who he was a player who took on a role to maybe not score as much because he was a winning player. He was out there with others who needed shots.
Did the winning things. He's a facilitator. Ben Mathurin, his teammate, he goes, yep. I believe it was sixth overall to the Pacers in this draft. There's a lot of good offensive talent that Terry didn't need to be that offensive talent guy.
Yeah, and that so there you go. And the great information from Tyler Aki, and he follows college basketball. And Lou, that's why is I don't think the Bulls took a flyer on a guy who because he didn't start, and that's the reason to critique. I would critique Patrick Williams for not inserting himself in the Bulls' rotation and scoring the basketball when he has been healthy and when he's been out there. You know what I mean? Like I don't think the critique is because he played on a team that was super deep with older junior and senior players whose college coach played. I don't think that's the reason why Patrick Williams is not produced at this level. And it's up to the Bulls. Player development. That's what it's all about. They got to figure that out. We have the song of the night coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This hour is brought to you by our friends at 3CHI. That's number 3CHI, the leader in Delta 8, now Delta 9, and other THC products. Visit 3CHI.com for more information. Use the promo code ESPN5 for 5% off.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
If you missed anything from Black and Abdallah, check out the Black and Abdallah podcast brought to you by Neighborhood Housing Services of Chicago. If you're looking to get out of that tiny apartment and into your own home, visit nhschicago.org/team. We have the song of the night coming up in just a moment right here on ESPN 1000. But first, let's go to Chase on the south side. Chase, are your legs tired?
What up? You said my legs tired.
Well, yeah, we were talking about the White Sox, and they have a case of the tired legs. I'm just making sure, Chase from the South Side, making sure your legs aren't tired.
No, my legs aren't tired, but my back is from driving all day.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. Have you ever heard of a professional team having so many players with, quote, tired legs?
No, I haven't. That's so weird hearing it. Like, you got to let you old? I mean, that's about it. I never heard of that. That is so uncalled for. How do you have to, what are you doing to get tired legs? These are 25-year-olds and they got tired legs?
Yeah, well, that's what they said.
Hey, you think it's the LaRusso effect? You think LaRusso, the old age, has got an effect on the players now? Now they fall. You think they go mixed up and fall asleep while they catching ground doubles and stuff?
I don't know, but I think you should call into Connor McKnight's post game show and ask him that.
No, I'm going to call Yurko, because Yurko, that's his favorite joke, is LaRusso falling asleep. I love that. That's always funny. But, hey, Chris, I got to ask you a question right now. It's something I've been thinking about for a while, right? I need your opinion on this.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say this is three things I was thinking about this. So let's say Zach turns into a great player and the Bulls start winning playoff series and championships, maybe. Let's say, who do you think takes the credit for Zach? You know, because you got to remember, Gar and Pax brought him here. And so do they take the credit, or does AK take the credit for bringing the players in, or does Billy Donovan take the credit for developing them? It's kind of the same thing I was thinking about with Justin Fields. Like, say if Justin Fields turns out to be a great player, who takes the credit? Pace for bringing him in, Nagy for finding him, Eberflus and Poles for developing him. You know, it's somehow. Yeah, Jerry Krause never. Huh?
Well, I would say this. The way I always lean in those questions or situations, I always lean towards the player. I would give the credit to Zach. Just like, well, I mean, like, you know, like who got the credit for Jimmy Butler? I think Jimmy Butler gets the credit for turning himself into the player that he became. So I would give the player the credit.
But still, you got to think, like, I mean, but you know, it's always got to be that who's responsible for bringing that play here. Like, just like Jerry Krause. Like, Jerry Krause took the credit for, you know, building that Bulls. But we got to remember, he never drafted Michael Jordan. And this is a debate I always want to ask people. Do you think if Jerry Krause, you think he would have drafted Michael Jordan? Because I don't think so. I don't think he would have drafted Michael Jordan. Because he never was a big guard person. He was more about four.
Yeah. So he wanted centers, bigs.
Right, exactly. So that's something to think about. Like, I was thinking about that a long time. Like, would Jerry Krause have ever drafted Michael Jordan? So it's kind of something I was always thinking about. Like, it's something I always brainstorm or wondering, like, who takes the credit for these guys coming here, knowing that the last regime didn't bring us? They brought this guy here, but now they brought the team around him to make him better than what he is. So that's all I was saying. Who would take the credit for all this happening? That's all I was thinking.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Chase. I'd say, especially with this situation with Zach, right, like, Gar Pax made the deal, but then they never made the playoffs with him, and it seemed like they never actually progressed. The new group comes in, they put better players around him. I don't know if Zach's necessarily like a whole ton better, but he is better. I'd still point to the player. I don't think I would give the front office like, it's the easiest no-brainer possible for the Bulls to say, okay, we're going to sign him to the full max here, because it's what they kind of have backed themselves into having to do. It's time for the song of the night.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial, because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume, because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
Tonight we go to Tom Jones. It's Not Unusual. From 1965. That's right. It's your Song of the Night with Bleck and Abdullah.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me cry. I wanna die. It's not unusual to go out.
So on this date, I believe in 89, Tom Jones got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. All right, guys, Jake and Tyler, when you hear this song, what's the first thing you think of?
Marvelous Breadfish.
No matter what you say.
Jake?
Same thing. Hey, no, I was trying to think, what movie have I seen this in?
What did I hear? Mars Attacks?
No.
It's certainly in Mars Attacks.
It's in Mars Attacks? Well, I don't know that one. But I've obviously heard the song. I just can't think of a movie.
What about a TV show?
Or a TV show.
Nothing comes to mind with a TV show?
I just see someone like...
Oh, no.
Boogie dancing.
Oh, no. I think we're going to need help from our great listeners.
Yeah, can you phone a friend?
When you hear this song, in a reference to a TV show, what comes to mind? 312-332-3776. Tom Jones, It's Not Unusual. It's your song of the night.
It's not unusual to find out.
turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind. Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, Lick.
All right, Jake, I want you to screen every single one of these callers. Put them all up there. We will talk to the people. Let's see if our friends can help us out. Help Jake and Tyler out. TV show, Tom Jones plays... What comes to mind? Find out in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.